Now, Qatar has rejected a series of demands made by several Arab countries for ending a standoff in the Middle East.
What we are saying here that everything should be based on a proper process and proper framework and agreed principle among the parties. This list of demands made to be rejected. It's not made to be accepted or not made to be negotiated. The state of Qatar, instead of rejecting it as a principle, we are willing to engage in providing the proper condition for further dialogue. Regarding the ultimatum and the 2 days, we believe that the world...
A Qatari foreign minister said the ultimatum was not aimed at tackling terrorism, as Riyadh had put it, but at curtailing his country's sovereignty. Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman Al Thani noted that such conflicts should be worked out through negotiation and not by imposing ultimatums. Earlier, Saudi Foreign Minister Adel Al Jubeir said the demands were non-negotiable. Comments came ahead of a deadline set by Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Egypt for Doha. They cut ties with Qatar last month, accusing it of supporting terrorism, charges that Doha denies. They also shut down land, sea, and air links and asked Qatar to accept these 13 demands. They include shutting down Al Jazeera television channel, downgrading ties with Iran, and closing a Turkish airbase in Qatar. And joining us for more on the story now is Mr. Colin Cavell, joining us out of West Virginia, a former lecturer at the University of Bahrain. Hello, Mr. Dr. Cavell, thank you for joining us, sir. Now, it seems to many, including the United Nations and Riyadh's Western allies, that the list of demands to put this issue to bed are too excessive and unreasonable. So why is Saudi Arabia positioned so unrelenting?
Mr. Daniel, the Qatari Foreign Minister, Abdulrahman Al Thani, is very correct when he says that this Saudi list of demands was meant to be rejected, especially given that the ultimatum came with a 10-day expiration, meaning July 10th. This ultimatum comes with U.S. knowledge and approval. That should not be mistaken, as the House of Saud will not initiate any military movement without its imperial sponsor's sanction. And we should also remember, Mr. Daniel, that this Saudi ultimatum comes only 6 weeks after President Donald Trump made his first foreign trip abroad, which was to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So definitely, the House of Saud is working hand in glove in close coordination with the Trump administration on the threats to Qatar. And the Qataris should not be lulled into believing that the U.S. is taking an even-handed approach in this situation, or that the ultimatum's author is solely that of the House of Saud.
It's funny you should say that, because this all came about after Donald Trump's visit to the region. Yet, on the other hand, we hear Rex Tillerson encouraging dialogue and putting an end to this blockade and trying to put this thing to rest sooner than later. So we are getting mixed messages there out of Washington. So what do you expect or suspect that we'll see once this ultimatum period, this 10 days we just spoke about, has been exhausted?
Well, Mr. Daniel, whether the U.S. will allow Saudi forces to overthrow the Al Thani leadership of Qatar, or whether it's simply testing the loyalty of Qatar's leadership while trying to goad it into an open ally relationship with Iran, remains to be seen. As well, by including amongst its demands shutting down the Turkish military base in Qatar and paying reparations, the U.S., KSA, imperialists are also testing the loyalty of Turkish government of Recep Tayyip Erdogan to gauge his behavior in this standoff. So in either case, the current Qatari government should take this situation as an existential threat and act accordingly.
Do you expect that we'll see this thing escalate to the brink of some kind of military scenario?
Well, you know, Mr. Daniel, the U.S. KSA in this situation is acting on a long known principle in international relations that was espoused by the Athenians in the 5th century BC when they invaded and subjugated the island of Melos. This was depicted in Thucydides' History of the Peloponnesian War, when the Athenian imperialists, they told the Melians, who had complained that the Athenian ultimatum to surrender was unjust, the Athenians replied, right, as the world goes, is only in question between equals in power, while the strong do what they can and the weak suffer what they must.
Thank you, Professor, for joining us once again on the program. That's Professor Colin Covell, former lecturer of the University of Bahrain, joining us out of West Virginia.